to the Word of God as we dig deeper into Scripture. And we've been working our way through the Old Testament. Today's Scripture comes from the prophet of Joel. And maybe you're a little unfamiliar with Joel, I think that as we delve in today, some of the images will come back to you. And it's a great guide for our time, as well as Micah. We'll look at Micah and the prophet Micah and pull those together. And we'll also talk a little bit about Martin Luther, the great reformer of the church. So let us turn our hearts to God, open our minds, and listen for the prophet Joel. Let's start with verse 9. Say to the nations far and wide, get ready for war. Call out your best warriors. Let all your fighting men advance for the attack. Hammer your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Train even your weaklings to be warriors. Come quickly, all you nations everywhere. Gather together in the valley. And now, O Lord, call out your warriors. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I have a little confession for you all today. My mom, she was a hippie. That was supposed to be funny a little bit. Now, she wasn't one of those hippies that, did drugs or burnt flags. No judgment there if you were that kind of hippie. But she did wear bell bottoms and sing in a folk band. Anybody sing in a folk band? Or wear bell bottoms ever? I can see, yeah, I even wore bell bottoms. So that singing in that folk band, I feel like trained her for later in her life. She was a youth leader, and she would use those folk songs to teach about faith and using your faith in your daily life. And one of those songs that she taught that I think got ingrained in me was "If I Had a Hammer." Do you guys know that song? Yeah. If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning and hammer in the evening all over Oakland. I'd hammer at danger. I'd hammer at justice. I'd hammer at love between my brothers and my sisters all over this land. And that image of hammering for justice really connects for me. There's something about that activity, having a strong hand, feeling this calling to be active and look for ways we can spread justice in the world. Well, there are two striking scriptures in our Bible that talk about this hammering in a time of trying to bring justice in the world. And one of those is the scripture that we just read. And this is from the prophet of Joel. And Joel was speaking about a time in the future. He's talking about a final day where the nations will come to gather and gather all of their warriors and gather all the weapons that they have, even if they have to make the weapons from farm equipment. They're like saying, take your farm equipment and hammer it into swords. Justice will reign, the wicked will be harvested. This passage runs in parallel with the second one from the prophet Micah. Now, prophet Micah, he's the same one that has that very powerful scripture that maybe you know by heart that goes like this: "Oh, man or earthling, you know what the Lord requires of you, but to do justice, to love mercy, and walk humbly with your God." We're looking at that scripture in our Bible study, the 40 days in the Word. And earlier in Micah's words that we have in the Bible, Micah says kind of the opposite of what Joel is telling us. He People from many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob's God. There he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the Lord's teaching will go out from Zion. His word will go out from Jerusalem. The Lord will mediate between peoples and will settle disputes between strong nations far away. They will hammer their swords into plowshares. Hear that? And their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will no longer fight against nation, nor train for war anymore. So one said, train even your youngest to be warriors, your weaklings. While the other one says, come, when you there will be a day that comes when you won't have to train for war anymore. So which is it? Are we supposed to go to the valley and be ready for this final battle and prepare ourselves? Or are we supposed to stop being at war, to work at peacemaking, to work at being humble, at building for a bigger future? These passages can be confusing when the Bible seems to say two opposite things. And I think these are one of the things that keep us from delving into Scripture on a daily basis. So as we are continuing to look to read the Bible in our 40 Days in the Word series, I want us to bring these questions together. This week, Rick Warren suggests a clear method for how we deal with Scriptures like this that we don't really understand. He wants us to focus on how do we get this to apply to our life. How do we really read for something that adds meaning for the ways that we act and we receive God's love, share God's love? So Rick suggests a clear three-step process. So you look at what life was like when this was written. You look for an ancient truth. What is the message that God has sent into us over the years? And then you pray about how this applies to your life, how you live this truth out in your daily life. So we're going to give this a shot with Joel and Micah. So first, let's look at Joel. So Joel says to them, there will come a time where the Lord says, hammer your plowshares into swords, your pruning hooks into spears. Train even your weaklings to be warriors. I can't help but think about some of those old westerns, or even Braveheart, or the Three Amigos even, where there are these common people that are called to fight for what's right, to fight for their homes, to fight a battle against those who are persecuting them. The farming equipment is making a reference to the struggles that they've had. These people in Joel, they had this big locust infestation. And we kind of feel like we know the troubles of locusts that they bring. We get lots of locusts here in Kansas. But they had a complete infestation. The locusts to the level that it took out all the crops, that it was infesting their water, and it was starting to bother their animals. So this was crucial for their entire lives. And so they cried out to the Lord, and God prevailed. God brought them salvation. And so this is making a reference to that it's God who saved them. Perhaps this was a message meant for specifically the farming community, to say that God needed them to build a brighter tomorrow, that they would need to use the tools that they had to fight for a brighter future. Now when we turn to the Micah passage and we look at what it says, I see a message to the rich and powerful. See if you can hear that. So they will hammer their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will no longer fight against nation, nor train for war anymore. Even in our other knowledge of the prophet Micah, we hear that God calling the people to be more humble, that these things which give them power can also be used to spread mercy. God wants them to live a humble life more than just giving extravagant gifts to God, to use what they have to help lift others up. So, what ancient truths can we pull from this knowledge? Even Rick Warren admits that he has to really think and pray about different scriptures from time to time. So don't feel bad when you come to the scriptures and you're like, gosh, I have no idea what this has to do for me in the 21st century. God, help us to pray and sit and think about it. That when we find these things that make us say, oh, this doesn't apply to me, maybe it does. Maybe there's a way that we can make this work into our lives. After I've sat with these scriptures throughout the week, I really feel like they say something about hammering our faith. Like God saying, come, hammer out your faith and be active in God's recreation of the world. That there is a plan for a renewal, a transformation of the world to a new heaven, a new earth. And God wants us to be a part of that, to use the tools that we have to renew the world, renew ourselves, renew our communities. Next week, we will be celebrating the 500th anniversary of when a very special man, a special reformer, stepped up and hammered for his faith. His name is Martin Luther. He hammered some words onto a bulletin board at his local college, his local university, where he taught. And these words echoed throughout the world to send a message that the church needed to be reformed. The people of the world needed to turn their hearts. So, Dr. Brother Martin Luther, because he was both a professor and a monk, he had been given the authority by the university to say who was speaking truth from the scriptures and who was teaching incorrect teachings of the Bible. This was meant to be for the other teachers and for the students, but then he ended up pointing out for the priests what the priests were doing wrong, that the priests were offering what they call indulgences, meaning that when people came to confess their sins, that they had been doing wrong, that the priests offered them a task or money, an amount of money that they could give to wipe away their sin. And it seems so ridiculous to us. We know Jesus can't be bought. That when Jesus calls us to confess and turn our hearts, it's meant to change our lives and not just change what we do with our money and how we handle our finances, how we handle these gifts that God has given us. But when we act, when we give, all of this is a reflection of thanksgiving. It's a reflection of what God has done in our lives. Luther talked about this idea that we are saved by grace alone. It comes from Scripture. And he was reaching us, calling us to change in our hearts. And today, we continue on what he was calling the people to do, to continue transforming our lives, to continue transforming the church. We're about that right here. Looking for what is the message that people need to hear today. As you sit with God each morning, I invite you to come to God with your Bible in one hand and your hammer in the other. Where do you see places in our world that God needs to come hammer and fix to transform our communities, our relationships? Where do you see God's need in the world? Let us pray for God's activity and recreation of each of our lives and of our communities. Let's pray.
Gracious Lord, create in each of us a clean heart. Hammer out our impurities and point out to where we might speak up for those who are persecuted. Humble ourselves to be used for your glory. You, Lord, are true